The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Do you have any feelings about the word perdition? Is that a scary word for you? Well, one of our listeners sent in a great question about that word. What is the meaning of the word perdition in the Bible, and should I be afraid of it? What a great question. By the way, if you've got questions, you can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's see what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about this question. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. Sean here.
Bob here.
And we're both here to answer and discuss. I think we're going to do a series soon. We have a few more Q&As to go through. I mean, I have a stack of dozens and dozens of questions here, which I'm very thankful for. People ask, you know, how can you guys talk every single day? How can you write every single day? How do you come up with things to say? It's because of your questions and you guys prodding us on these things.
I would say maybe 80 to 90% of my blogs now are responses to questions.
Right.
And I find that the questions that y'all are asking are the questions that everybody wants. And so it's of general interest.
Yeah. But I also want to say that our listeners have been doing a much better job sending me concise questions. You know, I've asked in the past, if you send your life story in multiple paragraphs and there's a question buried there somehow, we're probably not going to answer that, at least not on the air, because it just takes too much effort to, like, figure out what question is being asked. So if you want one of your questions to be asked and answered on air, it needs to be short, to the point, concise, so I can just scan it and see at a glance that, okay, this is a good question.
Right.
Much more likely to get a response from us if you do that. Okay, here's a question from Kenneth. He says, I noticed in your blog you talked about the word perdition. The question I have is, in what sense is this word not talking about someone going to hell? I've seen other meanings for this word, but I guess I'm not entirely sure. I'm a Christian, and honestly, this passage is troubling me. I've prayed to the Lord for some understanding and have told him that I find it to be a scary passage. So perdition, that's an older English word. So
now what is that? John 17, the son of perdition?
Hebrews 10, 38 and 39.
It's also in John 17, though, where he calls Judas the son of perdition.
Yeah.
That's John 17. But what's his verse?
Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. And it reads this: Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Yeah. In my Greek, I've got an interlinear here.
Yeah.
The Hodges-Farstad interlinear.
Yeah.
And it puts underneath the word apoleion, which is from Apollome.
Yeah, destruction.
It's destruction. That's exactly the word they have underneath it.
Right.
They say, we are not of those shrinking back to destruction.
And here's the NIV, and I think this is the 1984 NIV. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So what is this destruction here that is being warned about in Hebrews, I guess, is the heart of the question.
Yeah. First of all, I would say, and I have a chapter in my 10 most misunderstood words in the Bible about the word lost, which is also translated perish, or it's sometimes translated perdition. Perdition doesn't mean eternal damnation or eternal condemnation. It means destruction. Now, it could refer to eternal destruction, depending on the context, right? But here, this is the, if I remember correctly, the fourth warning passage in Hebrews, and 10:26 through 31 is all about that if you turn away from Christ and begin to willfully go back to animal sacrifices, that's what the author of Hebrews means when he said if we willfully sin after receiving the knowledge of the truth, then we're going to receive judgment.
Yeah.
And he's not talking about eternal judgment. He's talking about judgment here and now. And he says God will judge his people, and they'll receive a punishment worse than death. Mm. And there are a whole lot of punishments worse than death because, you know, obviously for the believer will go to be in the presence of God. But yeah, if the believer continues to live on in suffering, well, that would be worse. And after verse 31, the author then begins to say he does have high expectations for the readers. He believes the readers are going to persevere. And so he says in verse 39, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." And it's really the saving of the life. This expression, the salvation of the psuche, in the New Testament and in the Greek Old Testament, always refers to saving a life from calamity in this life. And so the issue here is not who has eternal life and who doesn't. And I think what he's saying is that he is optimistic about the readership, that they're going to respond to his letter.
Right.
He's not saying, "I'm absolutely certain you're not going to draw back to destruction."
Right. Because Hebrews is really about, I mean, can you paint a larger picture for Kenneth here about what Hebrews is?
Okay, well, another Kenneth, Ken Yates, wrote a commentary on Hebrews, and in it he makes the point that the big picture in Hebrews is that the author wants the readers to live in such a way that they will be chosen by Christ to be his partners in the life to come.
Yeah.
These are Jewish Christians. That's why it's called the Epistle to the Hebrews. They're not Gentile Christians. They're Jewish Christians. They probably live in North Africa. We're not really sure, but there's some sort of a community that's separated by itself, kind of like the Essenes and the Essenian community. And evidently, they are being tempted to go back to offering animal sacrifices because somebody's telling them that the blood of Christ is not sufficient. And you'll remember, Sean, the beginning of chapter 10 talks about how the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins.
Right.
And that Christ's blood does that once and for all.
Yeah.
It's a once and for all sacrifice. And so the big picture of Hebrews is we need to continue to endure in our walk with Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, not go back to some sort of legalistic Jewish practices.
Right. Answer me this question. So if you apostatize, he's warning these Jewish people that they're gonna get destroyed.
Right.
Now, is that a special warning just for them? Because we see people stop believing all the time in American Christianity, and they don't undergo the spectacular destruction. What is happening here?
Well, that's a good question. I would say the book itself does not try to tell us about people in other books, but when you read the rest of the New Testament, for example, James 5, 19 and 20, if a person strays, then he who brings him back will save a soul from death. Same language, saving a psuche from death. So you get that same kind of idea. Or you have in 1 John 5, there's a sin that leads to death.
Yeah.
Same kind of idea. Except the destruction in Hebrews is even worse because it's said to be worse than death. And so I would say, yes, this is slightly worse because what this is not simply someone who's going from the free gift of everlasting life to some sort of work salvation message. This is somebody who's now turning their back on Christ and saying, "Well, I guess Jesus really wasn't the sufficient atonement for our sins.
Yeah.
We need to give animal sacrifices." That's worse than saying, "I hold the work salvation," or "I hold the lordship salvation."
Yeah. So it's interesting. Ken, in his commentary, seems to be saying on page 170 that the destruction might be a destruction of basically the worthwhileness of his life so that he no longer has rewards in the kingdom, something like that. What he says is perdition means destruction. He says in Hebrews 10, it means the punishment the believer who draws back experiences. It is a fate worse than death. It could also include the destruction of one's eternal rewards. Whereas the person who saves their soul, he says, is the person who gets all these rewards and stuff in the kingdom.
Right.
I wonder, the author is saying that the believer who lives by faith will preserve his life, the opposite of experiencing destruction. He keeps himself from experiencing the judgment of God, both in this life and in the world to come. Such a life will not experience the loss of rewards, including the privilege of reigning with Christ. The unfaithful believer, even though he'll be in the kingdom, will experience the destruction of many things. His life's work will be wasted. So I guess Ken kind of sees it sees it as kind of future, judgment seat of Christ, destruction or preservation, maybe.
Right. And when I heard what you were reading there, it kind of reminded me of the Lord's words. Now, he wasn't talking about ruling. He was talking about treasure.
Savior.
But he said, don't lay up treasure on earth.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal.
Yeah.
And so the point is, if you are living your life for that which is temporary, you're basically living your life for something that won't last.
Yeah.
And if you want your life to have enduring value, lay up treasure in heaven. And that's a little bit different than this, because what Ken Yates is talking about concerns ruling with Christ in the life to come and being his partners. But it's a related idea.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, the summary answer to Ken is, don't go straight to the hell idea. You know, you don't need to go straight to the hell idea, and there's good reason for you not to, because Jesus promises the believer can never perish eternally.
Right.
So be open to other interpretations here. And as we've said, you know, there's in Hebrews is concerned about eternal rewards are mentioned here and being a partner with Christ in the future and the kingdom to come. Hebrews has all of these ideas in play, and you need to take those into consideration when considering the warnings.
And just as to back up what you're saying, Sean, in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words on the Word Loss, which I just taught in Sunday school a week before last, this same word translated perdition, apolumi, 90% of the time it refers to some sort of loss or decay or destruction in this life. Only 10% of the time does it mean what it means in John 3:16, shall not perish. That's apolumi too. But that's 1 out of 10. So not only should Kenneth not immediately jump to eternal condemnation, that should be exceedingly rare when he sees the words loss, perdition, or destruction. He ought to be saying, this is probably dealing with in this life.
So statistically, it's the last thing you should think
exactly.
about. It's possible.
It's possible.
It's not like it's totally crazy and it's coming out of left field. That word can mean that.
Right.
But not in the majority of cases. In the majority of cases, it means something.
And not in a context like this one, because if it did, then you'd be teaching work salvation.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss what is Lordship Salvation and how widespread is it? I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.